Joining us on the line now is Niven Phoenix. He's the son of the late Detective Superintendent Ian Phoenix, one of the fatalities of the RAF Chinook that crashed on the Mull of Kintyre in 1994. Niven is the voice of the audiobook Phoenix, made for the 30th anniversary of the crash. It tells the true story of intrigue, danger and family loyalty centred within the Northern Ireland Troubles. The book Phoenix was written by Ian's wife, Susan, who I've had the pleasure of meeting and interviewing many times over the years. There's also a two-part BBC documentary about all this available on iPlayer. Welcome to the show, Niven.
Hi, Hannah. Thanks very much for having me on.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us. So what was it like kind of voicing your father's story? I mean, you must have been quite young when this happened.
Well, I was quite young. I was 21 years old when we had the crash on the Mull, which killed my father and 29 of his colleagues, and obviously quite a shocking and traumatic event. The largest peacetime loss by the Royal Air Force, I think, since World War II, and also was the largest loss of life of security personnel within the history of the Troubles. Luckily, you know, I'd had very nice upbringing, very solid upbringing. And also, I think one of the things about growing up in the Troubles, if your father was a prison officer or a police officer like my father was you were always kind of half prepared for maybe them not coming home. So you're probably geared towards it maybe more than you actually realize, even as a young child.
Gosh, that must have been awful times for you. Not just obviously the loss of your father, which incredibly tragic, but as you say, before that, the worry as to what might happen.
Well, I think looking back on it now, as an adult looking back in your childhood life, it seemed quite unusual. At the time, it felt perfectly normal. And I would say I'd, you know, despite growing up in the Troubles and living under threat with a house of bulletproof glass and panic buttons in the rooms and extra security and having to look under your car in the morning, that was all normality. So it didn't seem at the time. So it was just something that you did. It's only when you look back on it now, you know, as an adult, and you think, well, that's an unusual way to grow up.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm sure a lot of people will, of course, remember, but just in case people don't, can you just kind of run through what happened in that fateful day in 1994?
Yeah, absolutely can. And also, you mentioned a documentary of people. I don't know if you can get BBC iPlayer in Spain, but it's easily available on YouTube. So there's a BBC documentary called Chinook Zulu Delta 576, and people can see it on there. And obviously, Mum goes into great detail in the book, which is Phoenix Policing the Shadows. If people want to find that, that's on Spotify and Audible. In terms of the actual accident at the time, it was basically a sorry tale of really poor procurement, and it has parallels really with the post office issues that we've seen lately, where we have, you know, a large company like Fujitsu. We had issues with the actual company who supplied a lot of the equipment for that Chinook helicopter. It was a very immature design. It was rushed into service. The pilots themselves were very uncomfortable with flying it. They'd upped their life insurance in the previous months. One of them, his father was a former Concorde pilot, and he had told his father, you know, how frightened he was of the aircraft itself. And then, of course, when the accident happens, there was probably very little surprise by certain quarters. And what we saw after the accident was probably some really very poor behaviours from government institutions, and namely the Ministry of Defence and the RAF, who really didn't investigate to any great degree in order to find out what had actually happened to prevent reoccurrence. They were quite interested in reputational damage, rather like the parallels of the post office, where it was about protecting the institution and the organization rather than actually seeing what was going wrong and could they put it right. Yeah. So that was quite disappointing and very angering at the time for all the families involved.
Yeah, of course. And Susan was saying when I spoke to her recently that the MOD, the Ministry of Defence, and the government have still insisted on sealing the documents for 100 years. I mean, what's that about? That says a lot, doesn't it?
Well, I think that says that does say an awful lot. And to be honest, I was not aware of that until the actual documentary came out. It was a very good documentary done by Five Point Films in Belfast. Very good editorial team. And they found out more information than we actually knew. So normally those documents would be sealed for 25 years, exceptionally 50 years, but to seal them for 100 years, well, that shows really they're trying to protect something. And I've actually had questions asked in Parliament by my Member of Parliament, and he's also very unhappy with the answers he's received. So the story isn't over with regards to the Shinnick and what's been going on there. And I believe I'd like to see some justice, not just for us as families, but primarily for the crews who flew it, who were erroneously blamed for 17 years. I mean, that was a terrible slur and a terrible burden for those families to carry for 17 years. Mm. And they did actually reverse the findings and quite rightly clear the pilots of gross negligence. But still, I think there are answers to be found as to what went on. And they're probably within those files, which are sealed for 100 years.
Yeah. So does that mean, because of that sealing for 100 years, does that mean that nothing can be done, nothing more can be revealed until that time? Or can work still be happening to try and get to the bottom of this?
No, I absolutely think work can still be done to get to the bottom of this. And, you know, they seal these things, behind closed doors. And then when it comes into the open, it's really public pressure, I think, which can reverse these findings. Rather like what we saw, again, I go back to the post office analogy. I mean, that went on for decades. I remember seeing that happen in the news, and you think it's probably been reversed, or you think something's happening with it. But ultimately, when it's individuals and they're fighting organizations or dealing with large institutions, particularly governmental institutions, really they just rely on people dying and going away and they wear them down. But I think, as we saw in the post office doc, when they produce a drama which galvanizes public opinion, then that can have a significant effect. And it's really the power of people that can overturn that. So yeah. I wouldn't say there's nothing that can be done. I think there's probably lots that can still be done due to public pressure.
Mm. It was amazing, really, wasn't it? The effect of that TV drama with the post office scandal, because before that there'd been various podcasts, there'd been books, there'd even been a Panorama documentary, but nothing was done about it. It wasn't till that TV series that was so effective, I guess. The public were just absolutely outraged that they were kind of forced to do something about it.
Well, I think so. And I think that outrage, people would feel it if they if they listen to the book, which is Phoenix Policing the Shadows. And it's really it's quite easy to listen to it now on Spotify and Audible. And it was quite interesting actually making the book again, because you're opening up old boxes which I hadn't looked in. And I felt quite emotional reading it. And I felt outraged, reading some of it. So I think people would probably feel the same way if they go and listen to the book. And that could probably help galvanize opinion, and people could write letters to their own MPs, and ask, why are these sealed? Because it's our young servicemen. If they don't correct the mistakes of the past, then there's always the possibility it could come back to haunt people within the future. Particularly in a troubling world right now, we want our service personnel to be protected by the kit that they're using. We certainly don't want them being exposed to the same levels of risk and danger which those poor crews and my father's colleagues were exposed to 30 years ago.
Yeah. And the book is a personal story as well. It's the story of that day and events leading up to the day, but also a bit of a family story as well.
It is. It's absolutely a family story. And I think it shows what it was like to grow up in those times. It shows actually the power of family and the power of communities. Because when you think about it, it's quite a difficult way to live, knowing that there's people who are constantly looking to kill you in very basic terms. And we were very aware of that as an entire family. And as an entire family, we protected each other and ourselves. And there's families in Northern Ireland probably still doing that today. So that, I think, would probably people would find of interest. And also there are parallels with some of the recent films that have come out. There's that fantastic film Belfast, which was produced, because I don't remember the 70s. I was born in 73, but I don't remember the really dark times. But then reading about how my father was protecting Catholic families being forced out of their homes by sheer thuggery, which is why the troops went into Northern Ireland in the first place, which I think gets forgotten sometimes. They went in to protect those people. And so it was really interesting to read about my father throwing himself on top of, young families who he was escorting out of their houses and being attacked by machine gun fire.
Wow.
My father was like, yeah, I mean, it was very interesting reading the book again. My father was in 300 separate shooting and bombing attacks in the course of his 24 years within the REC. So, you know, it's just quite a considerable amount. Yeah. And despite all that, he was a very resilient man. You know, he was a very fit man, and he had a love of nature, and he was really a very good exercise and, you know, on how to promote well-being, because he was always positive, always upbeat, and had a tremendous sense of purpose. And he was never cowed or bowed by the, you know, the fear or the risk that he worked under. So he's quite a remarkable individual, I feel.
Yeah, amazing. As is your mum, it must be lovely to be so close with you and have a close family when you were going through all this, but obviously with the aftermath as well.
Well, mum is, as you know, an absolute dynamo. I mean, she's in her 70s now, and she's still campaigning about this, that, and the other. And certainly the reason my father was the man he was because he had my mum behind him, supporting him and helping him. There's no way he would have probably got to the rank that he went to, because he was quite a blunt instrument. So he had my mother there guiding him along sometimes. Mm-hmm. So mum is remarkable. People can go and look on our websites. I think it's susanphoenix.com, and that will also sort of give an idea of the other things that she's done. I mean, mum's written a number of books. This is just one of the books that she's written, and she was instrumental in helping get the documentary made. And I don't know if you watch documentary, Hannah, but, you know, she comes across, you know, fantastically. And I'm always getting people saying, oh my God, your mum's amazing. That's
absolutely
incredible.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Well, it's been lovely to chat with you as well, Niven Phoenix. Thank you so much for joining us. As you mentioned, if people want to get hold of the book, it's called Phoenix Policing the Shadows. It's available on our website and others too. They must have a look at your mum's website, susanphoenix.com, and the documentary, if they can get it on iPlayer, BBC two-part documentary called Chinook Zulu Delta 576. So people can find that on iPlayer. Niven, thank you so much for joining us. Lovely to chat with you, and take care, and lots of love to your mother.
And you, Hannah. Thanks very much for having us on. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.